Hello and welcome to the Get Transformed podcast of Transformation Christian Fellowship. We are so excited that you are tuning in, and hope that you would be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
To the Word. Let's get into work. Let's go to Hebrews. Okay, y'all already there for me. Y'all give it up for my youngins working the stuff today. Amen. Put them in the work early. Put them to work early. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through the death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he gives aid to the seed of Abraham. So he's talking about me. Verse 17 says, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Verse 18 says, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Ladies and gentlemen, we are still starting a new series for a few weeks entitled The Uniqueness of Christ. The Uniqueness of Christ. And in this particular message series was inspired by a current devotional that I'm reading by Barry Chant. And it really stirred my soul. And I was like, well... And the Lord started leading me in this direction, and it's to explore how Jesus is unique from all the others, and how there has never been anyone like him to walk the face of the earth. And so the goal in this series, ladies and gentlemen, is that it will encourage continual obedience, and for those who may be new to hear about this message, that you would want to put your faith and put your trust in Jesus. Amen. And so that's the goal. I want to get to you. I want to talk today from this subject, unique in person, in the first installment of the uniqueness of Christ, that he is unique in person. First things first, I want to make this very clear, and I'm going to give you scriptural evidence to back this up. That number one, first things first, is that Jesus' personhood is unique. And what makes Jesus' personhood, not there yet, but what makes Jesus' personhood so unique is that he is God and man. He's God and man. He is fully God and he is fully man, meaning he's not 50% of God and 50% man. No, he's fully God and he's also fully man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 would read this way. For there is no one, therefore there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Again, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 14, and I'll dive deeper in. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is fully God and fully man, meaning that when he stepped out of time into time, he added to his deity humanity. He was not God because he got up from the grave. He was God before he even got there. He added humanity to his deity. Ladies and gentlemen, what you have to understand is the very significance of that there has been no one to walk the face of the earth being fully deity and fully God. For even those, ladies and gentlemen, in the Nephilim, and that's a deeper teaching that I don't really have time to get into, is that there were sons of God, ladies and gentlemen, who looked at, and this is in Genesis, I believe around the sixth chapter, that there were sons of God who turned on God, who saw what was going on the earth, and they began to have relations with the women on the earth. And so you had little demigods walking the earth, but that didn't make them fully God and fully man. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only been one to be fully God and yet fully man. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one who's came with the true revelation of the end of what the real, who the real and real genuine God is, and that's through the person of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so important because if he did not come in add humanity for us, we would be doomed. If he did not take on flesh, there is no way that we would be redeemed. And he did not choose an angel to do this. He himself came in the person of his son named Jesus. And the Bible would tell us that he was hidden in the bosom of the Father. Meaning, ladies and gentlemen, before the foundation of the world, he already had in his plan that his son would come to redeem man. Already. That means that God is not making anything up off the spot as it pertains to your life and as it pertains to the things in the cosmos of this universe. He already has put certain things in place before time. And so why is this so significant, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you why it's so significant. Because Jesus himself subjected himself to the human experience. He subjected himself, meaning that he came out of his glory to step down where we were and submit himself, ladies and gentlemen, to his own law and authority. How you come out of the splendor of heaven to step into a fallen world. That takes a lot of obedience. The Bible would tell us, ladies and gentlemen, that God, it would be easy, ladies and gentlemen, that God would create, could just create a man to just come like he did Adam. Nah. He easily created Adam as a full grown man, but he didn't do that with Jesus. Jesus subjected himself, ladies and gentlemen, to his own experience, meaning that he came in the form of a virgin birth as a babe. You get what I'm saying? And so through that, ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand that he experienced the ordinary human life from birth to adulthood to death. That, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus is learned, he learned and he was suffering and death are all a part of the life experience. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. See, a lot of times what they were missing, ladies and gentlemen, in his first coming is because they thought that God was going to come on this riding the white horse in full glory and splendor and all of that. But what Jesus said, I'm coming as a servant. And sometimes people have this image of God that if he's so big, I got into a debate with somebody, not really a debate, but we were just having a conversation. And it said, if God is so God, why would he come like that? And I asked and challenged him, why would he not come like that? You can't identify with somebody who can't identify with you. Why would I come in such a grandioso when the average person does not have that? Jesus, being fully rich, became poor so you could become rich. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the reality of the matter, what type of God out of all of the deities and out of the mythological characters and all of that stuff has actually submitted themselves and really made no reputation of what they really were? And that's how they miss God. Some people miss God because you're looking for an image or a caricature that you have in your mind of what you think God is. So they missed his coming. They didn't understand that Jesus, being fully God, has walked in the face of the earth and he's made, ladies and gentlemen, and he was walked here so that you can see a God who actually can identify with you.
Hey TCF family, it's Elder Bloomy, and I would like to invite you guys out to join us on November 12th for our Momentum Sunday. we are asking that everybody contribute at least $78 or more, whatever the Lord places on your heart to give, towards our $20,000 year-end offering. This will help us with our current initiatives and our future initiatives that we have coming up. Please, don't forget, join us on November 12th for Momentum Sunday. And remember, transformation starts here.
He's not a God that just sits on his high horse and not doing nothing. He actually can identify with you. And so here we have it. He said he made of no reputation. And this is what he said in verse 8. And he says, and being found in the fashion as a man, he himself humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yeah. And this is what and this is where I want you to go. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, really quick. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Yeah. Let me help you understand this, because you may be saying, well, if he's God, why does he have to learn obedience? This is not what it's saying. What it's saying is that Jesus learned obedience not in the sense that he was prone to disobedience and had to bring rebelliousness under control, but in the sense he fully entered the human experience. Yeah, yeah. It's harder to leave what you have and subject yourself to another experience. That's a lot harder, ladies and gentlemen, to actually have to submit yourself to this human experience that you know is broken, that you know is fallen, and yet I submitted to it. And so some people don't understand that Jesus knows what it means to be hungry. He knows what it means to be tired. He knows what it means to be the provider in a home when the earthly father Joseph has died and gone off the scene. This man knows what it means to be the elder statesman in the household and be the provider.
Yeah.
Jesus knows what it means. Jesus knows what it means to experience betrayal. Jesus knows what it means to be backstabbed. Jesus knows what it means for people to, you trying to lead people and they're not trying to follow. Jesus knows what it means. Jesus knows what it means to be poor. Jesus knows what it means to be hungry. Jesus knows what that means. And you have to stop putting in your mind that he can't identify with where you are. Because what makes him so unique is that he's actually a God that can identify with you. Ladies and gentlemen, why is this so great? Because the Hebrew writer is making it clear in this chapter that Jesus is so much better than everything else. The writer of Hebrews, he pursues his argument that Christ's humanity makes possible the fulfillment of God's saving plan and therefore involves no inferiority of Jesus to the angels. And that the offer now focuses on the full reality and benefits of the Son's humanity. We are benefiting because the Son took on flesh. You are benefiting from God's, the Father's saving plan for humanity. And that was to send his Son, Jesus. Because here's the point number one. Jesus adding humanity to his deity made our salvation possible. Because the only way, ladies and gentlemen, that our sins could be atoned for is that Jesus then would have to stand as a chief high priest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what does that mean? A chief high priest, ladies and gentlemen, in scripture, what they would do in the Old Testament and what that is that they would atone once a year for the sins of the people. Ladies and gentlemen, they would wear a breastplate as a symbolism, ladies and gentlemen, of the people being a burden and carrying them before God. But when Jesus died on that cross, ladies and gentlemen, he carried as our chief high priest a heavy wooden cross. Not only that, but he carried it upon his shoulders, representing, ladies and gentlemen, how he is carrying us to the Father in order for us, ladies and gentlemen, for him to mediate and prepare and repair a relationship that was broken.
That's it.
You want to know why the world is broken? It's because of sin. I don't care how you look at it. Man could try to take the ball out of their court all you want to. Why society is what it is because we live in a fallen world. It's three letters, sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? S-I-N. That's what it is. That's why we are where we are. And Jesus makes it possible for us, ladies and gentlemen, to now have peace with God. He makes it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that no longer is our eternal fate damnation, but our eternal fate is an eternal reward that is in heaven. And that we would be able to rule with him. Not only our eternal reward, but the reward that we experience with accepting Jesus. That Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That there is peace, joy, oh my God, in the Holy Spirit that's available to us. But that's only available with Jesus adding humanity to his deity. Because he has to stand as the mediator between us and God, making propitiation for our sin. And so what happens is that Christ in the propitiation, because by his becoming or our substitute and assuming our obligations, he explained our guilt, covered it by the punishment which he endured. And so with the punishment he endured, he became our propitiation upon the cross. That means he atoned for our sin with his own body. Oh, okay, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 3-4. Bible scholars from Tuesday, y'all should know this. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, meaning he condemned sin in his own body. He took the punishment that was rightfully ours by the fall of one man, and he said, through the obedience of the other Adam, which is Jesus the Christ, now we have full reign with Christ and full repair relationship where we can go to God for ourselves. Salvation, say my salvation. Is made possible through Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, when you really look at it, is by which it becomes consistent with his character. Ladies and gentlemen, the government to pardon and bless the sinner. The propitiation does not procure his love or make him loving. It only renders it consistent for him to exercise his love towards sinners. God sending his son doesn't show that he loves us. It shows his consistency of loving mankind. Yeah. Not to prove that he loves mankind, but it shows his consistency of how he's been trying to save mankind since the fall. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? And not only because of that, but number two, and we get out of here, is that Jesus adding humanity to his deity aids us in our humanity. What is so unique about Christ is that now because he's lived the experience, he can aid you in your humanity, in your life experience. Because he's not a God who cannot be in touch with your infirmities. That's what makes him the chief high priest now, is because now he can walk with you and aid you along this journey because he knows what it means to experience suffering. This life that we live, no matter if you're an unbeliever or not, is full of suffering. It's full of highs, highs, and low lows. And the reality as the believer, when you come into faith, now you have someone that can help aid you along this journey that you don't got to go journeying by yourself. Him adding humanity to his deity, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost like this. How can you serve someone who have not really experienced or know what it means to go through certain things? Are you helping me in here? Are you feeling what I'm trying to tell you? Is that now he can come alongside of you, not only as the chief high priest, but not only that he aids us, but he also aids us in heaven. Why? Because the Bible says that he ever liveth to make intercession for you. That's what makes Jesus so unique. That's what makes him so different than the rest. Jesus adding humanity to his deity, ladies and gentlemen, helps us, oh God, because he understands what it means to be tempted. The Bible says that he was tempted above all things, at all points. It means emotionally, mentally, sexually, all of those things. He was tempted with all of what we are facing in temptation. That's why the Bible says there is no temptation that is uncommon to man that God has not provided a way of escape. You acting like you the only one who gone through something. No, 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 no. Jesus does. Jesus, who is God, has been through it. And all he's asking is, you trust me, I can help get you through. I can help aid you along this thing.
Hi, everyone. We're the Glory Girls.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Leticia.
I'm Aretha. I'm the coordinator of Glory Girls.
Yes, and here at the Glory Girls, we are a woman's life group that come together to discuss biblical principles, to discuss all things womanhood. Yes. And this is an opportunity not only for us to lead the conversation, but for you to share and be a part of this conversation.
Yes.
As we build each other in the Lord.
Yes, and we welcome all of you to come and sign up now, no matter where you're from. We have our sessions on Zoom, and you can join us and be a part of our Glory Girls. And remember,
transformation starts here. Glory, glory, glory!
But I know what it is. Oh, I can't trust in somebody who I think is man-made. I can't trust in somebody who I think, oh, the white man and the Europeans pushed it down our throat. Because you don't do your history. The reality is, ladies and gentlemen, it's a lot, it's harder because we don't really want to submit under facts. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If you ask yourself among all the other things that are out there, there's so much the world has to offer. There's so many world religions out here, and all of them are the same. That's what we say. Oh, they all the same. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing that makes this different, is when you really study for yourself and you really look at all the world religions, all I've came and I've studied them all, I come to the conclusion that what one God out of all of them, what have they done for humanity? I have to ask myself the question. When I look at the different gods and even the ones that were in the Old Testament that were made, what did they do for humanity? How was love shown? Because all I can see is us trying to do something to earn a love of a deity. Hallelujah. All I see is us trying to earn the love of a deity. But God said, no, you don't got to earn it. I already love you, and you just got to receive what I've already done. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not earning my salvation. I get saved by believing. I'm already loved by God, ladies and gentlemen. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're getting out of here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, saying, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Why? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That now he can aid us and show us how can I live a sinless life is because he lived it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us now, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may be able to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And so because he has added humanity to his deity, ladies and gentlemen, he can help aid me to the point where now I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I can come boldly. Why? Because my sins have been forgiven. I've been forgiven. I've been set free. I now can come to him because now my big brother, my chief high priest has taken my place. And what manner of love is this for a man to lay down his life for a friend? Even when we were considered enemies of God, he still considered us friend. And he laid down his life for you and I. This is what makes Jesus so unique. Why is it that during we talk about Easter and really resurrection time, but why does the world pause every year? Because there is a mystery, a uniqueness of Christ that can't be explained like others. It wasn't that it was washed, ladies and gentlemen, because guess what? In the very beginning, this Jesus man was, guess what? He was on everybody's hit list. Because how he carried himself was unique. because he was fully God, fully man. Well, Jesus never said he was God. You're a liar. Because let me tell you, explain something to you. When Jesus said that before there was Abraham, I am. I am, ladies and gentlemen, is him associating himself and telling them that he's God. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? The Jews understood what I am means, because I am is referring to Yahweh. That's it. And that's when he said that they wanted to stone him. Yeah. Why? Because he did disclaim that he was God. There were many people like Jesus who claimed that they were a deity. Historically, but what backs up his claim? Well, over 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, as I come to a close, Jesus said this: destroy this temple in 3 days, I'm gonna raise it back up. He weren't talking about no building. He was talking about his physical body. Ladies and gentlemen, he likened his resurrection as to the day of Jonah, how he was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. And he said, by the end of that, I'm getting back up. And then when they thought they had Jesus and they thought that he was all done, because yes, he experienced death so that you don't have to taste death. That, ladies and gentlemen, what are you saying? We all die, Pastor Brandon. Yeah, but guess what? We death is a transition for the believer, because I don't die to die. I die to live. Fire. All death is a transition for me, that I transition from one world to the next. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You think it's the end because you take your sleep here? Ah, no. There's an eternal home that was not made by human hands, but it was made by God. And he said, I wouldn't have told you this if it wasn't so. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. But the good news that we have this morning is that, oh my God, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? God, Jesus took the sting out of death, took the sting out of grave, so that you won't feel it. So when I transition, I just transition from one home to the next. This ain't my final home, and the grave is not my final destination either. All the grave is so you can see, you don't see me physically here anymore, but I'm alive and well in a whole nother land. This ain't no folk tale. This ain't no mystery. Matter of fact, the Bible would even tell you that in the first resurrection, when Jesus resurrected, that they had to come up with something to try to figure out why is it? Oh, they stole his body, and they've been saying that same lie since then. But guess what? When you go down to Israel yourself, you see an empty tomb. There ain't nobody there. There ain't no bones nowhere. You can't find them. Ain't nobody hid him, because if you understood history, you would know that the disciples' lives were on the line too, and they all backed up from him. But it wasn't until Mary came to the tomb, or Martha came to the tomb, and they said, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He ain't here. Roll the stone away. Hey, cause he not here anymore. That's what my hope is in. You can put your hope on everything that's fading, and it'll fade along with you. But guess what? When I make my journey, I'm not fading. I'm just glorified in a whole nother suit. That's not, oh my God, not this foot suit that is going down to hell. No, I've been saved. Yeah. Believe it or not, I don't really care. I would hope you would believe. But guess what? At the end of the day, when it all settled, you got to believe it for yourself. Because guess what? One day somebody going to be correct. And guess what? I'm not going to be on the wrong side of his story. I didn't say history. I said his story. Because the reality of the matter is, one, when you're on the right side of history, when you're on the right side of knowing for a fact it's true, I can preach like this because it's a conviction. I can preach like this because I've seen it for myself. The reality of the matter is, this ain't no mystery. God has prevailed himself through the scriptures, and there's other evidences, even outside of the Bible, that will assure you that there was a man from Galilee. His name was Jesus, and what he was saying was upsetting that day, because he claimed to be God, and his claim was backed up. Because where is he? He not here. I serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. That's what makes him unique, is that out of all the humanity, there was one historic resurrection, not a resuscitation, but a resurrection. Lazarus was a resuscitation. It wasn't a resurrection, because he still died. But blessed are the dead in Christ. Whoa, oh my God, for they arise. I know you don't get excited about this because you're excited about homes and land, but I know where my final destination is. The only one, fully God, fully man. Doubting Thomas said, I'll see it when I see it for myself. Jesus said to him, touch him. Touch the nails in my hand. See, listen, Jesus didn't get rid of his scars because his scars are proof of what he did. Hallelujah. You better know that your scars are proof that there's a God that stood by my side. That's what makes me unique, because a God stood by me. Oh my God, because I'm unique, because I'm in Christ. Proof. And Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who believe but yet have not seen. It's easy for you to believe, Thomas, because you see me. But the greater blessing are for those who believe the word. I know. Go with your fallacy. Bible's made up. Man wrote it. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's almost like this. It's almost like a producer who calls himself a producer, but he knows how to organize and put things in place, but he had somebody else produce what he already did. So all they're doing is going off of what he is saying to do. Believe it or not, it is what it is. I got to prove that to you. It is what it is. And God ain't proving nothing to you neither. Either you believe or you don't. He has nothing to prove to none of us. Because by dying on the cross, what he did was put the ball in man's court. Either you could believe this or you don't. It's your choice. It's free will, homie. It's free will. You can believe it. You can choose to deny it all you want to. That's cool. That's your choice. Pastor Brandon, I don't believe. That's cool. That's your choice. You have the right to do that because you were born in the image of God. He has the ability to choose. And guess what? He chose to send his son. Did he have to? No. He could have wiped all of this out. He was good in eternity with him, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He didn't need to do this. So guess what? You had a choice, so did he. What manner of man is this that he would think of little of me? That's what makes him unique. Because he had to become like you, in the likeness of you, and yet did not sin. They couldn't fall no fault with him. They took him to Pontius Pilate. He said, I don't know. What are we doing this for? This is unjust. Couldn't find no fault. Well, of course, the court path of Brandon ain't going to put what Jesus did in there. Well, that wouldn't be consistent with scripture. Because all throughout the Old Testament, you saw great men with great flaws. Yeah. Why? Because all was pointing to the fact they needed a Savior. Say what you want to say. Believe what you want to believe. But the reality is, what's missing in you and what we try to fill with other theologies is because God placed eternity in every man and woman's heart. Whatever you fill that with in will still not be enough, because you'll be searching for more because you ain't found it. Well, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch. Like me. I was lost. Jesus wasn't. I was lost. but I was found. I didn't find him. He found me. The very fact that you in this room is that you were found. Ain't nobody go seeking you out. You ain't seeking him out. We love him because he first loved who? Us. Stand to your feet. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Say whatever you want to say. Rubber meets the road. One way or another, this Jesus man, he's the real deal. I don't believe because I'm uneducated. I don't believe because my mother and father made me come to church. I believe because I chose to believe. Because I know everything that was out there, it couldn't answer to me why my soul still felt the way it did. I felt lost before I met Christ. He's the only one that was able to give me language for why I'm a, bro, you a sinner, yo. You a sinner. You lost. But guess what? Today, I'll never forget it. At the age of 8 years old, August of 2001, I heard the voice of the Lord. If you give me your life, I will take you places you'll never imagine. And ever since then, while there's been lows, I felt like that was the best decision I ever made. Because God has never left me. He's never left me. And I feel whole. So I want to give you Jesus today. Because when I fall, you dare to catch me. When I fall again, you dare to do the same. Lord, you keep your grace around me, and you'll never leave me. And you'll never leave me. Thank you, Jesus. For when I fall, you dare to catch me. Cause when I fall again, you dare to do the same. And Lord, you keep your grace around me, and you'll never leave me. I want to give you Jesus today. Jesus came that you may have life and you may have it abundantly. And if you give your life to him, all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And you are saved. It's simple. We try to complicate it. It's simple. Oh, am I going to feel this feeling? No. You're saved. But it's through your obedience that you'll start conforming to the image of Jesus. You say, Pastor B, I drifted away from God. I felt like this whole God thing was a waste. But I want to give you him today. It ain't that God changed, you did. But he got his arms open and say, I don't care. Come to me as broken as you are. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. You need a church home. Listen. This is a great place to be. I would love to serve you as your pastor. Don't you leave out here without a home church. And don't you leave out of here without giving your life to Christ. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you don't go to hell because of sin. You go to hell because of what you believe. Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? And that he came, died, buried, rose again, ascended to the right hand of the Father so that you now have peace with God. It ain't about what you do, it's about what you believe. And it's because of what you believe, then it's my belief that leads me into sanctification and all of that. So it's not the prayer that we're about to say that's going to make you save. It's really your true heart today. And if you're watching online and in person, I want to give you that option. So repeat this prayer after me. I don't want nobody to feel left out, even if you're already saved. Let's say it together. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. And I ask you today to be the savior of my life. I acknowledge that you died, that you were buried, that you rose again, and you ascended to the right hand of the Father. And so today, I'm making you the Lord over my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that prayer and that dedication today, you fill out that connect card so we can tell you the next phase of salvation. Come on and say, oh, oh, oh.
Thanks for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. We hope that you would subscribe so you can continue to be empowered by the latest message. For more information about Transformation Christian Fellowship or Pastor Brandon Hill, visit our website, transformationchristianfellowship.org, or download our free mobile app on the App Store or Google Play Store. If you would like to support this ministry, simply text TCF1 to the number 94000 or visit our website. We thank you for your generosity and for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. And remember, transformation starts here.